Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting on the planet. Enjoy the show.
Life Conversations is dedicated to empowering its listeners spiritually, emotionally, socially, and financially. The radio show provides the platform for the stimulation of thoughts, conversations, and ways of being that allow listeners to explore and examine what it is they believe and decide whether what they believe is keeping them stuck and disempowered or empowering them to live their best life.
That's right. When love is your religion, you will milk it to the last drop. And then you realize it's not the last drop. There's more. You just hold a note and let love do what love does through you. Jamie Lula, making a choice to love and reminding us about the importance of making love. Let me just stop right there. We just make love. We can allow love. We can choose love. And it's even better when it becomes a religion. It helps us remember and put it all together. And we can embrace the differences. Rev D will always say, the differences is not the problem. It's the polarization. And when love is introduced, you get neutralized. You get to see the other as yourself. To find out more about Jamie Lula, go to his website, Jamie, JamiLula.com. And you can also find him on iTunes. Good evening, good night, good morning, good afternoon, good day to you, wherever you may be at this very moment in time. Thank you, thank you, thank you for tuning into yourself first and then tuning into Life Conversations Radio, where change begins and change is inspired. And when you change with the change, when you embrace the change from a place of consciousness, awareness, you will make a mighty difference. And if you don't even know how, just be willing to embrace the change. Because change gonna happen. Change is happening. You're listening to Living in the Yes with Reverend Dr. Deborah L. Johnson, the founding minister of Inner Light Ministries in Santa Cruz. I am your producer, Ade, life coach Ade, or that crazy dude. I'm crazy in love about love and God. Today's topic, today's theme, tonight, to this moment, whatever time you're listening, is groundedness. And what is today? Today, what's today's date? May 26th, 2015. It's Tuesday night, 9 p.m. Eastern. And you are in a spot, the perfect place to grow and expand and find your roots. Be willing to just go deeper and deeper and deeper. So I want to remind you, we love to take your calls. We love your questions. We love your participation. We love your consciousness, your presence. And we even love it as well when you share the show. So share the show right now. Share it with somebody. Call somebody up. Tell them. If they say, I'm not near my computer, I have to listen to it in the archive. You know, when we do that, we don't. Sometimes we do. Well, let me speak for myself. Let me not speak for people I don't even know. How arrogant of me. But anyway, tell them they can listen on the phone. 347-426-3346 to listen and to share your question. If you have a question, you have a comment, you have a testimony, you just, you know, maybe you're just in the house by yourself all week, all day, and you're feeling kind of lonely and you've been having some thoughts that you're thinking, wow, if I put this into action, what's going to happen in my life? Ooh, this is kind of scary. When you think about it and sit with it, it feels good, but then your human mind goes, ooh, that might be a negative thought. I wonder if that's the devil. You know how people do that. I wonder if that's an evil thought. And you just want to express that and get guidance and get support and get coaching. 347-426-3346. You can also post whatever you want to post regarding the show. And even if the conversation is off topic, but you just need some help and you want to share it, we welcome that too. You can use the chat room. And if you're listening and you haven't registered with Blog Talk Radio and wondering where the chat room is, even if you have registered, because sometimes people don't always find it, what you have to do is scroll down to the bottom, go to the bottom, and then you see it. It's kind of tricky. And you can also post your questions, your comments, your thoughts in the Life Conversations Radio like page. I will get to it. But as always, we encourage you to call in 347-426-3346. And now it's time to bring on Reverend Dr. Deborah L. Johnson, and we call her Rev D, and you have permission to call her Rev D as well. Good evening, Rev D.
Good evening.
How are you?
How are you?
I'm good. I'm staying grounded. I'm enjoying this moment. My mind wants to run somewhere else. But it's like, no, stay right here. Stay right here. Stay right here. And it feels good.
Well, good. Good, good, good. Well, you know, it's an interesting thing. Whenever we try to run, we just run into ourselves anyway.
It's like, what you doing over here?
What you're running from, you run into.
I know, that's right. So I'm going to stay right here.
Yes. Well, good day to everyone. Hope that everybody had a lovely and wonderful Memorial Day weekend. And we are winding up this month of May on the topic of groundedness. Groundedness. Our lines are open, and anytime that you want to ask a question or make a comment, you can feel free to do that. Just a reminder again that it's 347-426-3346. 347-426-3346. Groundedness. I want to share with you the spirit letter definition that I have for groundedness. These definitions are downloads. They come from the same sources, the letters that are in my series, Letters from the Infinite. The first volume is The Sacred Yes, and the second volume is Your Deepest Intent. These definitions are not published yet. Occasionally, there will be one or two of them that might have shown up in a previously published letter. Definitions are definitions of spiritual qualities, and the qualities are who we are as our spiritual DNA. The definitions are written as a formula that essentially shows that in order for us to experience the spiritual quality, not manifest it, but experience it, it's already there, that there's a certain energetic convergence that has to happen. There's something that we bring to the table that meets something that's already there. And it describes what is that activity in our consciousness that needs to take place, that which we're to bring to meet that which is already there in order to experience the spiritual quality. So it defines groundedness. It says groundedness is the place, or you can equally say the space. The groundedness is the place where your discipline anchors in my inspiration. Groundedness is the place where your discipline anchors inspiration. That's the spirit voice talking. Discipline. But we sometimes make discipline a dirty word. But there's nothing obligatory about discipline in the truest sense of the word. It's not punitive. It's not about punishment. Discipline is from the root of disciple. And disciple is a wholehearted follower. Wholehearted. When you develop discipline around something, you are in discipleship of it. Discipline can be learned in many different ways. You might learn discipline through family responsibilities. You could learn it through athletics. You could learn it through academics. You could learn it through so many different kinds of ways. And what happens when we have discipline, there's a certain degree of self-control. When we discipline people from the punitive standpoint, theoretically, it's for the purpose of training them to develop their own self-control. The point of discipline is not so that the person has to keep being subjected to external discipline. And we sometimes feel like God or the universe or life sometimes is just beating us down into discipline. That it isn't true surrender if we feel defeated. That's not surrender. Real surrender is when we choose to let go of the struggle and the fight. That's real surrender. So this groundedness that I speak of is not being beaten down into the ground. No, it's quite the contrary. It's when our discipline, our will to take the initiative over our own actions, it's when that does something. It says that it anchors in God's inspiration, that it anchors. Picture in your mind of an anchor. What do anchors do? Okay. Anchors hook onto something. An anchor lets you ground in something bigger and greater and deeper than yourself. You want to anchor in something that's solid, something that's strong, and once you're anchored in that, you won't be movable. The whole purpose of anchoring is for stability. A foundation is the anchor of a building. Roots are the anchor of a plant. Everything has an anchor, something that everything else builds upon. In relationships or families, sometimes there's somebody that plays the role of an anchor. But here's the problem. When we choose to anchor in people, places, and things, when we choose to anchor in the temporal, the transitory, the temporary, then when that thing changes, then we get thrown off balance. Anchor in something that's solid. You want to anchor in something that's not moving around. Because if it's moving around, you can't anchor in it. And this is a problem that so many of us have. When those moments when our life seems to be coming tumbling down, it's because we anchored in something that was temporal. We anchored in something that was worldly. We anchored in a relationship. We anchored in a job. Anchored in our financial status. We anchored in the fitness of our body temple. You know, we anchored in our church or our nation or some other kind of symbol of something that we thought was strong and immovable. But thou shalt have no other gods before me. lay your treasures up in heaven, as it says in Scripture. Whenever we anchor in something other than the ultimate, whenever we anchor in something other than God, the great is, the knower, the living creator of all things, whenever we do that, we put ourselves on shaky ground. Okay? So groundedness is the antithesis of shaky ground. Groundedness is solid ground. The definition says that groundedness, where? It's a place in a space. Groundedness is where your discipline anchors in my inspiration. That's lovely, a lovely image. What do we know about inspiration? What do you know that happens when we're inspired? When we're inspired, we're motivated. When we're inspired, we're nurtured. Our psyche is nurtured. Our soul feels like it's fed. When we are inspired, we get recharged and renewed. It gives us a sense of connectedness with that which has inspired us. And once we're inspired, we get outside of ourselves. The whole place of inspiration takes us to a sense of gratitude for a whole. W-H-O-L-E, a whole. Linguistically speaking, inspire means to breathe in. Spire is breath. Spire is life. We breathe life into something, inspiration, and the life is breathed out in expiration. Ex out of. Spire, breath. When something expires, it's out of breath. Its life has terminated. Whether it's a driver's license or a body temple, fires, all the life is gone. All the breath is gone. Groundedness, where your discipline anchors in my inspiration. So can you imagine for a moment, what if we let our discipline anchor in inspiration? Wow. If our discipline isn't compensation for the ways in which we think we're lacking, what if our discipline wasn't about trying to prove something to somebody? What about if our discipline isn't based in a lot of ego stuff about all what I can do or what I can't do or whom I'm going to beat or be better than, even if it's just beating my own personal best, it still has that highly competitive edge on it. What if our discipline wasn't anchored our discipleship, our ability to exercise self-control, to stick to a pattern or a routine, follow through on our intent? Discipline, wow. What if that was anchored in God's inspiration? Wow. How many of us feel worn out by our own discipline? How many of us are just plodding and trotting along, doing everything that we think that we're supposed to do, and our minds surrendering to God's will, sacrificing, maybe even being a martyr to a certain extent, thinking that what was needed in our discipline was the denial of joy or love or passion, creativity, wealth, enoughness? What if we weren't living on that starving deprivation model and really, really believed that our purpose in life was to have life and to have life more abundantly? Wow. Just imagine that. If our discipline were anchored in inspiration, instead of the day being a drudge, it would be a joy. Instead of feeling worn out by our own self-regulatory behaviors, we would feel motivated. Where every act of discipleship brought more aliveness in our lives, and not less. Well, when we're anchoring in God's inspiration, we go to the transcendent place where our third eye is clear and we can see. We can see and we can see and we can see, like the song says, on a clear day, we can see forever. This is what I know. What this means is that we get to choose. We get to choose what we're anchored in. We're the ones that get to determine just how grounded we are, not the outer circumstances of the world. They're not dictating to us. Oh, it's quite the contrary. We are coming to life with our joy and our enthusiasm. Our discipline is not drudgery. Our discipline is not mournful or remorseful. Oh, no. Our discipline is alive, exuberant, energetic. Why? Because we're anchored in the inspiration that uplifts us always. 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 When we're anchored in God's inspiration, we're not turning to people, places, and things to try to make us feel better. When we're anchored in God's inspiration, we are not turning to external things to try to make us feel better, to numb us out, to make us look good. Whatever else might have been going on in our monkey mind. Will you allow yourself to be free? Will you breathe in inspiration? Will you breathe in? Will you just breathe in God's amazing goodness? It's there. It's there for the asking. In the end of the Sermon on the Mount, at the end of chapter 7 in the book of Matthew, this collection of writings and sayings that are attributed to Jesus, compiled in this one expose. And at the very end, the very, very end, Jesus is quoted as saying, "He who hears these words all the things that Jesus has been saying. He who hears these words and does something with them is likened to the wise man that builds his house upon the rock. And when the winds and the rains come, the house still stands. He who hears these words of mine and does nothing with them, he is likened to the foolish man that builds his house upon the sand. And when the winds and the rains come, great is the fall of the house. This isn't a construction lesson. It's a lesson about consciousness. About consciousness. And I remember in one of my spirit letters several years ago, it was saying, if you're building on sand, it really doesn't matter what you're building. How important it appears to be, or how much you need it or want it, that, no, if you're building it in sand, then it's not going to last. It says, and you can go through all of your, ooh, what did this happen, and why did this happen, and all, and I never forget that line. Spirit says, exactly what do you need to know about sand to understand that it shifts? What else do you need to know? Quit analyzing what you were trying to build. It doesn't matter. Because if you're building it on the sand, being negative, it's just pure cause and effect. Let's take a breath and take a break.
Wow, I'm hearing the song by the Gap Band. You dropped a bomb on me.
Baby,
baby,
you dropped a bomb on me.
That's what I heard, like, ooh, Lord. And yes, I'm just going to let all, you know, I disintegrated and just kind of let it all fall where they may, and then eventually what needs to happen will happen. I actually want to say something when we come back from the break. But yes, whew, thank you for that. You are listening to Living in the Yes with Reverend Dr. Deborah L. Johnson on Life Conversations Radio, lifeconversationsradio.com. The show is every Tuesday night, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific. And I want to remind you that the shows are archived. So the show is going to be archived after the show, 10, 15 minutes after the show, maybe sooner. And all the other shows in the past, you can always go back. You can subscribe on iTunes. And then when you link it up with your, I think it's, yeah, the iTunes, the podcast stuff, it will just get automatically updated and it will always be there to listen as you go through and grow through your day. We invite you to join the conversation. We thank you all for listening. Lady D, Dina, nice to see you. Lulu, it's nice to see you. Tracy is in the house. We've got a lot of listeners. They're just listening. But we invite you to share your thoughts. Did Rev D drop a bomb on you too? Don't leave me here by myself now. Come on now. Gladys, nice to see you. And some other numbers that I don't recognize. We invite you to join the conversation, to join the process of transformation, to surrender that I'm shy. I know. I got to remember that. I've been doing this for years, what, 2004? So it's kind of natural. And I still get nervous every time I want to do a show or I feel all this energy rush through me. And I'm like, okay, here we go. So I got to remember that when I invite you to join in. Just tap into the courage that is in you and just show up. 347. 426-3346, 347-426-3346. We are going to take a break. We'll be back. And let's do that right now I just had another thought, but I'll save it for later.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Hi, this is Jack Armstrong, author of Lessons from the Source, a spiritual guidebook for navigating life's journey. You're listening to Life Conversations Radio.
Life Conversations. It's all about positivity. It's all about self-empowerment. It's all about life conversations.
Ready to live in the yes? Join me, Rev D, the Reverend Dr. Deborah Johnson, here Tuesday evenings, 9 o'clock Eastern, 6 o'clock Pacific. Call in with your questions and comments as together we explore spiritual qualities and learn practical tools that unleash our spiritual power. We mix in some music, spoken word, readings, prophetic utterances. You want in on this? Living in the Yes, 9 o'clock Eastern, 6 o'clock Pacific, right here on Light Conversations Radio.
Are you ready to come out to play? To passionately love and appreciate who you are? Join me, Mbasa Sophira, on the playground of life, the play experience, every Thursday, 7 p.m. Eastern, where we always serve a raw, delicious smorgasbord of healing the mind, the heart, and the soul into this spectacular circle of life. Are you ready? See you on the playground. Be there or be square. The Play Experience, 7 p.m. each Thursday, here on LifeConversationsRadio.com.
Join Lisa Iverson and Life Coach Today for Ancestral Blueprints at 12 p.m. Eastern on the last Wednesday of the month. Learn how the unacknowledged truths in your ancestral blueprints may still be influencing your life today and how to bring awareness to the truths that want to be acknowledged. Join Lisa Iverson and Life Coach Today, 12 p.m. Eastern, every last Wednesday of the month on LifeConversationsRadio.com.
Life Conversations. We dare you to live your best life.
Life Conversations Radio.
Giving a voice back to the community. 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 To the community.
Welcome back. And yes, we are activating your throat chakra so you can express yourself boldly because you're grounded. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for being part of the conversation. Pam, thank you for listening and being part of the conversation. You're trying to stay grounded? Don't try to stay grounded. Just be grounded. You're listening to Living in the Yes with Reverend Dr. Deborah L. Johnson. We call her Rev D. And today, you now have permission to call her Rev D. That means you're in the house. We're talking groundedness. Share your thoughts. Share your questions. Share your doubts. No, sometimes it's good to build on sand because, you know, what if I don't want to live here for the rest of my life? What if I need something to just have me, so something to help me not get too caught up? So questions, thoughts, doubts, worries, fears, it's all welcome because you're living in the yes. 347-426-3346. 347-426. 3346. And make sure you press one on your keypad when you call in, or you can post your questions or thoughts and whatever you want to share with us, your doubts on the Life Conversations Radio Light page.
I'd like to just remind people a bit that there's nothing static or stationary about groundedness. You know, to be grounded doesn't mean that you are entrenched in any kind of way or that you kind of have it all together and, you know what you're doing and you're just, you know, like this solid tree planted by the river. No, it's where. It's like whenever your discipline grounds in God's inspiration, you become grounded. So times, for example, when I'm off and I'm in worry or fear or doubt or whatever, my discipline is not anchoring in God's inspiration. And the moment I remember that and decide, it's a conscious decision. Where you anchor is a decision. You may not be conscious of it literally all the time, but that's what it is. That's what it is. So don't think that groundedness means you're immovable in any kind of way. Think of it more like while I'm in motion. While I'm in motion, I have this opportunity to experience groundedness.
You know, as I listened to you talk about groundedness, what came to mind for me was the process of anchoring ourselves through discipline with God's inspiration. To me, it just seems like a process of dying. You know, because I think of a seed. A seed has to die to be anchored in the soil, to have roots, to become the plant, the tree. And it just had me go places, like, because when I think about the, you know, when I listen to your show or when I read a book, when I'm watching a documentary, something awakes in me. It's like, oh my God. But there are times in life where I feel like I've forgotten all the inspiration that I got through listening, watching, reading a book. Mm-hmm. Or sometimes I'm like, yeah, I know I'm supposed to do that. And it what I saw for myself is this process of dying, is a process of letting go. And I find myself thinking, yeah, it's no surprise that, you know, humans, we're not fond of talking about death. We think it's morbid. We're afraid of it. We're trying to prolong it. And I don't necessarily have a question. I just want to share that thought with you. And feel free to add.
Well, you're absolutely correct. But here's the thing. Eddie, we're always dying.
Mm-hmm.
The body that you have today is not the body that you had a week ago or a month ago. That we are literally shedding all the time and creating something new. To the outer eye, it may look the same, but it really isn't the same. The cells have reduplicated themselves. And it's really extraordinary when we think about it, that every day dies to the new dawn. There's this constant ebb and tide. There's a constant release. We ingest, we digest, we assimilate, we eliminate. We never hold on to everything. There's always this circulation that's happening. You can't just take in and not give back and not let go. Nothing works like that. Nothing. So the question that really becomes to us is that, what are we anchoring in? It's really just the question. That we're always anchoring in something. What are you anchoring in? Are you anchoring in the news? Are you anchoring in the drama du jour? You know, are we anchoring in our narrative? Our story? About what we think is going on? Are we anchoring in the gossip? Or our past perceptions or judgment? Or are we choosing to anchor in something uplifting? Are we anchoring in love, in joy, in peace? Are we anchoring in forgiveness, and reconciliation, and hope, and possibilities? Are we anchoring in courage and faith and strength and wholeness? We get to choose where we live.
We get to choose where we live and where we build our home. There's something in the chat room here, and then we're going to take a call. Lulu said, I'll try and read it as she said it. Something Rev D said earlier about discipline being in inspiration. She said, I know I'm not saying it correctly, but it reminded me of what she said about abundance. Something like, your abundance resides in your knowingness of my completeness. She says, from the letters. I can't recall exactly what she said or God said through her, so she needs a reminder.
Yes, that what you'll find is all the spiritual qualities, they're all basically the similar formula. It defined abundance as where your identity resides in my completeness. Abundance is when your identity resides in my completeness. And is that not true? Abundance is not a figure. It's not a place in a checking account. Abundance is an inner feeling. And when we're feeling abundant, we're feeling whole. We're feeling, you know, we're not feeling fragmented or separated in any anymore. There is a completeness that's there. But here's the difference, see? Most of us are chasing after abundance. We want abundance in measurable ways that we can, you know, hoard and show people in bank accounts and all the rest of that. But you don't experience abundance until your identity is in it. Ooh, that's strong. Your identity, how you see yourself, what you claim yourself to be, and to reside, that's where you live. That's where you live. See? You aren't always in your residence, per se. But your residence is your anchor. Your residence is your touchstone in life. That's the place you keep coming back to. You know, your residence is the place where you're nurtured and nourished. It's where you eat. It's where you sleep. It's where your stuff is. You know, it's where you are, so to speak. So if you can let your very identity, how you see yourself, reside in God's completeness, oh, that's when you'll know abundance. If you do anything other than that, you may get a lot of riches. You could win the lottery. You could do any of that. But you won't keep it. It won't feel like it's yours. You'll constantly be afraid of losing it. You'll feel like you're faking it. And studies have shown you probably will. Because you were just a poor person with a lot of money. Until your identity shifts, you won't experience abundance. You might have wealth. You know, you might have riches. But real abundance? Oh, that's an inside job. Other questions or comments?
Yes, indeed, we got a caller. I was just thinking what you just said. That puts a whole new meaning to, in God, I live and move and have my being.
Mm-hmm.
I've never really, first time I'm actually seeing that as a state, a declaration of abundance.
Yep.
All right. Let's take a call. Gladys has a question about sinking sand. Correct me. Well, go ahead. Ask your question, Gladys. Gladys calling from New Jersey.
Good evening. Good evening to you. I was listening to what you were saying about building your house on rock or stone or sand. Mm-hmm. What about quicksand? I'm usually drowning in quicksand. Mm-hmm. And then the second thing, what you just said was very insightful, but if you can't change the way you feel about yourself, does that mean that you're always going to be trying to ground on sand, or in my case, quicksand, and drowning, constantly drowning? And I don't see any way out of that.
Well,
you cannot have an answer.
No, I do have an answer. I do have an answer. It's the naming of the circumstance as quicksand. Okay? That this idea of our identity is really important. Because what starts to happen then is that if something is my identity, then whatever that circumstance is gets there before I do. It kind of reminds me of something. And this may seem really tacky, but this is honestly what happened. This was a long time ago. This was in my mid-20s. And I was breaking out of this relationship, and it was just always a lot of drama. Just constant drama. And after about 6 years of this, I'd had it. I just had it. And I remember I said to her, "Done with damsels in distress." And she looked at me with the teariest eyes and said, "Where does that leave me? I am a damsel in distress." And it took my breath away. It was like, "Oh my, you are a this is who you are? And here I've been thinking all these years, it's just a circumstance. Oh, okay, we just hit this road, you know, let's get over this hump, baby, and we're going to, you know, make it to the next thing. And oh, God, here's just one more thing. All right, well, let's just get over this one, and then it'll be all right." But it's like, you are a damn, it's like, that's who you are? And it's like, well, no wonder we can't get out of this. Because that's who you think that you are. You are not what has happened to you. See, the problem now isn't that you keep stepping in quicksand. The what's happening now is that you are identifying with quicksand as you. Quicksand you, same sentence. And is it, no. It doesn't matter how many times you've done something. It doesn't matter how many times. This is like mud on the windshield of your life. Somewhere, something within you has to say, "I am more than this. I am more than this. I want more than this. I deserve more than this." A desire in the heart for something different. Really, really deeply different. And this is where all the powers that you have to come to be. Okay? This is where you have to give yourself permission to see something else. This is where a lot of these techniques that people think are just hokey or new agey or whatnot, they really are powerful and they really do work. You need a different picture. You need another picture. Something else for you to focus your attention on. And I highly, highly recommend that you create a vision board. Like, just get old magazines, newspapers and stuff. Just clip out pictures, clip out photos, clip out words. You know, get some little sticky glue, some scotch tape or something, and just, you know, put it on a piece of cardboard or something where you put your picture in there somewhere, where you start to imagine yourself as someplace else. Think, it's like, what would you do if you took in a bunch of foster kids? What if you were talking to a 12-year-old or a 13-year-old, 7-year-old, and they were telling you the same thing? You know, oh, you know, it never works. Everything's always bad. Everything, you know, always turns sour. I'm always getting into trouble and blah, blah, blah. Wouldn't you say to them at that point, go beyond that. Dare to dream. Dare to dream. Dare to see yourself as better than this and more than this. And that's really where it starts. That other stuff doesn't just go away. We have to shift our relationship to it. This is not me. This is not me. This is something that I'm in, but it's not me. Courage, and it takes boldness. And you can do it. You can do it.
Yes, thank you.
Okay.
Thank you, Gladys. And as we get ready to release the show, Rev D, as you were answering Gladys's question, it brought me back to the beginning, the spirit definition of groundedness, the place and the space where your discipline anchors in my inspiration. The discipline is not something that we can buy. It's something we've got to do. It's something we've got to be. It's a commitment to being and seeing something different.
Yeah. Mm. And it speaks exactly to this thing that I was just sharing with Gladys. Is the vision board is a place of inspiration.
Mm.
See? Is that we have to get beyond just what we see. In order to live life and not be totally depressed, you got to be inspired by something.
Mm-hmm.
You do. Something that uplifts you, something that gives you a reason for being. Something, anything. A challenge. A something you want to do, a something you want to accomplish. Just anything, breathing. And it's that inspiration. That's what each of us has to give ourselves permission for. You know, Thursday I was just in prison again with my fellas. And they inspire me. They inspire me with the way that they get inspired. Particularly the lifers. You know, who know circumstances and conditions like nothing I will ever know. And yet, they continue to find ways. In fact, there's 40-something guys in the program, and we start off every session, every week, going around the room with everybody saying something that they're grateful for. And when I listen to these men in prison talk about the things that they're grateful for, it humbles me. What are you complaining about, girl? As I'm looking at these definitions, I'll close with this one. It's a spirit definition of fear. It says fear is where your sensory evaluation eclipses spiritual facts. Fear, where your sensory evaluation, just your outer world, you know, what you see, you hear, you taste and all that, eclipses. When you eclipse, when something eclipses, it just comes so in front of it that it you can't even see what's behind it anymore. So when our sensory way of looking things just eclipses what the spiritual facts are, the world is too much with us. And that's where we get into fear. But if we anchor God's inspiration, we get to feel the sweet groundedness. And on that note,
can you just read that definition real quick again to make sure fear? We get it correctly? Because
the one yes. of fear?
Yes, please.
Fear is where your sensory evaluation eclipses spiritual facts.
Cool. Got it. Okay. Thank you.
Yep.
Something to sleep on. In the chat right. room, Tracy said, thank you, very wonderful show. Lulu said that, well, when you were answering Gladys's questions, you said, thanks, beautiful Rev D. How sweet. And they just, then you know that they love what you do and how you express and how you drop the spiritual bomb on us.
Well, my pleasure. Love back to all of you.
Yes, indeed. Peace and blessings.
All right. Take care.
Take care. Life is good. It's getting better. It's time for you to open yourself up to a revelation, to be made new. Get your fear out of the way and embrace. Don't you have to even, that's the thing. You don't even have to embrace the spiritual gift, the spiritual facts. They're there. Just move your fear out of the way. Oh my God, I got to read that over and over. When you live in spirit, you can be grateful living of your greatness. We love you. We bless you. We appreciate you. And we thank God for you. Make sure you join me tomorrow for Ancestral Blueprints, one of my 5 shows. Thank you, Lulu, for letting me know. I honestly didn't know until you said it. I'm like, oh yeah, dude, 5 shows. That's crazy. Well, some I host and some I produce. But yes, join us tomorrow, 12 p.m. Eastern. For Ancestral Blueprints, we're going to be introducing you to taking Ancestral Blueprints to on a deeper level to see how we work, how Ancestral Blueprints show up in your job, in your career, and family with Lisa Iverson and a special guest. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for saying yes. And I'm standing and trusting that you will have a revelation. That God will be revealed to you and you will see God, and all you will have to say is, oh my God, so beautiful, no words. You can listen to the show in the archive, and whatever you do, continue to discipline yourself and get anchored in the inspiration of God, of your godness, of the good of life. This is the Agape Choir. I had a revelation, and they're creating the space to reveal more to you. AgapeLive.com is where you can find out more about Agape Choir, what's going on at Agape. They got revelation coming up. And I'm getting ready to go out here and take in all that Rev D shared with us and catch the basketball game. Pray for the Hawks. Don't tell me nothing. Got it recorded. I'm out of here. I love you. Peace and blessings.
Life Conversations. It's all about positivity. It's all about self-empowerment. It's all about Life Conversations.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting in the planet. Enjoy the show.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.